You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
They round the far turn in the classic with Muad'Dib in front. Hero's Man hugs the rail and tries to battle on. North Atlantic plugging away in third, but Muad'Dib takes over. Inside the final furlong, opens up on a two-length lead from Hero's Man. And then North Atlantic, what a night for Boca Chica and Runko and Muad'Dib. He's a perfect 8-for-8 and a Breeders' Classic champion. Muad'Dib dominates in the classic from Hero's Man, then North Atlantic in third.
And with that call of the West Virginia Breeders' Classic, I say welcome to this week's edition of I Ask, They Answer with trainer Dale Romans and turf writer Tim Wilkin. Muad'Dib, say that one five times fast. He etched his name in the record books with that win in the West Virginia Breeders' Classic back in October. That was Paul Espinoza who had the call that you just heard. The man who co-founded the West Virginia Breeders' Classic, Sam Huff, passed away this week at the age of 87. Of course, in addition to his contributions to racing, Huff was best known as a Hall of Fame football player for the New York Giants and for the Washington Redskins. We'll spend plenty of time talking about that topic later in the show, but we begin with a question that was submitted by a listener this past week, which, by the way, if you have a topic or a question for Dale and Tim and you want to hear them debate or you want to hear their opinion on something, simply email the show, mike@horseracingradio.net, or hit us up on Twitter or Facebook, and we'll try to make sure we work those into the show each and every week for you. Well, Eric in New Jersey, guys, he asks, well, is it time to change two of racing's oldest and, in his opinion, useless rules, those being coupled entries and handicap grade one races that we see occasionally? Who wants it first, Dale?
Yeah, what was the first one?
Coupled entries.
Yeah, they need to go away, and they have in most states. And I've said this before, like New York was one of the last states to keep them coupled, and it's a New York state rule. But the New York people could bet on uncoupled horses in other states through simulcasting. We should be all on the same page everywhere with the gambling rules for sure. And uncoupling entries, it just makes for better racing. In today's world, where so few people on so many horses, you need to uncouple them so you have bigger fields and when they run against one another. And tell me the second question to go.
Handicap
races.
Yeah, grade one races that are handicaps.
Yeah, but that's an interesting look at things. You don't see many of them anymore, and I think it's just laziness on handicappers' part, the secretaries. But there's pros and cons to those. We talk about the weight that some of these great horses of Fargo and Kelso, Dr. Fager, carried to beat horses. And back then, that's what made them so much better than everybody else and made them so great. And another problem with not handicapping races is when there's one superior horse like one of those three, who's going to run against them? And a lot of times they weren't getting enough horses, so you try to weight them enough to where that they – other horses can compete with them. But I never really thought about the aspect of being able to pick up a grade one win just because you were in a whole lot lighter. I've always thought about the other way, how great the great horses were to win with the heavyweights on them.
Yeah, it's interesting. And that was the other follow-up question that the listener had. He said, is it time to race on a level playing field and just see who's the best at equal weights?
Well, we do that in all the classics, that's for sure. Now, you know, whether we should do it in every race, I don't know. I don't know. I think there's pros and cons to it both ways here. I know if you had Cigar running against equal-weighted horses every time, I mean, how many times would people show up and try to take him on?
Yeah, yeah. Timmy, what say you?
Well, obviously, we don't have any Dr. Faggers or Kelsos around. I mean, Dr. Fager carried 134 pounds. I mean, and I think, if my research is right, Kelso carried 130 24 times in his career and won 13 times. I mean, we don't have horses like that anymore. I don't know if they're just not iron horses like they used to be. But if you start making all equal weights for all these horses, like Dale said, who's going to run against the big horses, even though we don't have the superstar big horse in the last couple of years, like we had, when you go back to horses like Curlin and even Zenyatta, I think that you have to make it an even playing field. But, you know, you also have to protect the better with you're not going to put up the best horse, and you got to give him some kind of an
incentive to run.
And yeah, I'll ask you this, Dale. I mean, does if a horse is carrying 126, is that much different than carrying 122?
Yeah, it matters. I think it does, especially going longer. You know, I really do believe weight does make a difference. You hardly ever see a horse throw the rider off at the gate and not win the race.
Yeah, I agree with that. But, you know, I think you have to have some weight on these horses.
Let me ask you this question,
it's
guys.
I don't think there's a wrong answer. I don't think there's a wrong answer. There's an argument for both sides.
Yeah, and this is a little bit of a spin-off of this same topic. Timmy, you just mentioned the fact that maybe we don't have iron horses like a Kelso or a Forgo or those horses that carried so much weight. Do we not have those horses in the game today because we don't put weight on horses so they don't have an opportunity to prove that they can do it? Or have we seen a weakening in the breed where you don't think they could carry that kind of weight?
Well, aren't they breeding more towards speed now? It doesn't seem like they're looking for the durability of the horses that stick around for a long time. You just don't see it that much anymore because of the breeding. So, yeah, I think I think the breeding is different.
I don't know. I think it's just secular. I think great horses come around every few generations. I mean, we could say that about the Zenyatta was a great one. Cigar was a great one. And maybe we haven't seen one in the last few years, but we will. And the one thing about Kelso and Forgo, I mean, you got to remember, they were both geldings.
Yeah.
And, yeah, John Henry's probably the last top gelding we've had. And it's hard to get anybody to cut a horse anymore. They don't do it quite as often as they used to because all the value is in being a stallion. But there'll be others come along.
Maybe out of your barn.
I would love to have one superstar. I've had a couple in my life. I think Kitten's Joy was the closest thing I had to really having the true superstar. When you let them over, they were going to win.
Would you have wanted Kitten's Joy? Could Kitten's Joy have handled carrying 134, 135 pounds?
I could have ridden him in a lot of those races. And that's 360 pounds. So, yeah, nothing mattered with him. He was just that superior and that, over that three-year-old crop that year.
All right. Timmy, how about coupled entries? You agree with Dale that those just need to go away?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it's I don't know what it does for the better. You bet one horse that, I mean, one of the horses in there might be in there to be a rabbit for the other one. And, you know, when you're betting these horses, I just think it takes a lot out of the handicapping angle when you're getting two, sometimes three for the price of one. And like Dale said, the field size, it makes the field smaller. So, yeah, I think we get rid of them.
All right. Well, our thanks to Eric in New Jersey for that question. Again,
those are good questions, Eric.
Yeah, if you have a question or a topic you want to hear Dale and Timmy debate each week, just simply email the show or hit us up on social media. All right, topic number two, and I have to tell you guys, when I was putting this together, I thought the big news of the week in the trainer ranks was going to be Dale going for a record-setting fourth win in the Grade 3 Chalukya at Churchill later today. But that is not the case because California-based Pete Miller made some big news of his own. He announced that he would be stepping away from the game, saying in a statement that the effort to compete at the highest level of my profession has taken its toll on my family and my health, and I believe this decision is best for me, my family, and our future. Now, let me point out that it is no secret that Miller has come under additional scrutiny lately after five horses from his stable died this year alone. He's also been sanctioned three times in 2021 for Class 4 medication violations. He stated that those incidences are not the reason for this temporary hiatus. So, Dale, I'm going to start with you here because you obviously understand the demands of the training profession. What do we make of this announcement by Pete Miller? And are we buying the fact when he says that these things that happened recently with his horses had nothing to do with him and with this decision?
Well, first of all, Pete's a friend of mine. I tried to call him last night when I first heard the news, and he obviously had his phone off. I'm going to take him for what he says, but I think it's a different way of looking at it. I think that kind of thing of losing five horses and it's not only the scrutiny from the outside, it's the scrutiny from within. We love these horses, and that puts extra stress on you. And it is tough. Every day you get up, you don't have a season. You can't win a Super Bowl and then rest for 4 months. You are there every single day. You're judged every day by everybody in the horse industry. As Steve Asmussen told me best one time, we were leaving Churchill Downs, and he said he had run 10 horses, won 3 races, and 7 people were mad at him. And you just think about that, how you live under the gun 24/7, 365 days a year. Pete and I are the same age. For 35 years, it wears on you. And then you have horses, you have problems like the horses that died this year on him, and you do get scrutinized, and social media is so hard on everybody. I understand. I'm taking him for his word, and I understand completely that he needs a break.
Timmy?
You know, I don't know Pete at all, being out in the West. He's a West Coast guy. I mean, but when you just read the stuff, I mean, when he said that, talked about the speculation related to this, wanted to make it clear that it's not a result of any regulatory action, secret agreement, hidden agenda. I mean, that puts up a red flag to me. Why would he say that? I know so many trainers, and I hope, and I think most of them, if not 95% of them, are all on the up and up. I think they really do love these animals, and it would just be unbelievable to me and hard for me to believe that anybody would try to put something in one of these animals to better themselves, because they do love these animals. And I just have a hard time accepting that somebody would do that. And if somebody would do it, they should kick them out of the game forever. And then, you know, it's like Dale said, you take it for what it's worth. It maybe he is struggling. Maybe he does have some problems and he has to sort out and, you know, but the fact that he's under so much scrutiny, and again, you go back to the social media has turned into the judge and jury in their own pathetic little minds sometimes. And, you know, that's not fair to him. So, you know, I hope he gets done what he has to have done, and, you know, then he comes back and is able to do something, because you're not in this game that as long as he's been, and not have an affinity for these horses. That's what I think.
Yeah, and let's face it, we see this in other sports too. Mental health issues are real, and it's a problem that many people in other industries and other sports are dealing with, so this very well could be the case. Dale, I want to ask you a follow-up question here. 3 Class 4 medication violations in 2021. Explain that to people. What is a Class 4 medication violation? Is 3, it sounds like a big number to me.
Not that big a deal. It's what those are, Class 4s are all very mild legal medications that you can use and are just over just on too much. I mean, 4 is a little bit sloppy. You're trying to push the envelope probably, but nothing that's a major. You know, the Class A's or Class 1s or whatever they call them are the ones that have no therapeutic effect on horses and no reason to be in their system other than be trying to cheat and make them fetch, which be bronchial dilators and blood doping issues and things like that. What we're talking about is probably just butte overages. You know, things like that. That do have reasons for us to use, and we use on a regular basis that just probably weren't withdrawn. And I would bet all 4 of them were under the level that made any difference in the outcome of the race.
All right, well, there you go. Okay, so there's the Pete Miller topic. Let's move on to the next one, because I want to make sure we talk about this next topic too. NFL Hall of Famer Sam Huff. I mentioned this earlier. He passed away this week at the age of 87. Now, in addition to being one heck of a football player, Huff was also a tremendous racing advocate. He began breeding horses after he retired from the NFL, and he co-founded the West Virginia Breeders Classic. And this got me thinking, guys. Who do you consider to be some of the most influential people in racing that made a name for themselves in other sports or other industries? There have been plenty. Timmy, you want it first?
Yeah, there have been plenty. I mean, I remember sitting in a box at Saratoga with George Steinbrenner when the owner of the New York Yankees, and he had Kinsman Stable. And I actually got to have a kind of a relationship with George. I was invited down to the stadium to watch a game with him in his box, which my dumbass said, no, I don't think I want to do that. And I never went because I was an Orioles fan. I wish I would have done that, but that's here or there. But, I mean, he had Bellamy Road. I mean, the 2005, second in the Travers. I mean, he won the Wood. He was seventh in the Derby for Nick Zito. Wonderful horse. And Steinbrenner was such a friend to racing. I mean, I remember when Real Quiet was going for the Triple Crown. He played the Belmont Stakes at Yankee Stadium before the Yankee game that night. I mean, he's just one. I mean, Bill Parcells, the former New York Giants coach, is still involved with racing. Eric Johnson, the hockey player, he's got horses. He had a horse just ran in the Breeders' Cup, a horse named McKinnon that was named for one of his teammates and was third in the Juvenile Turf, I believe.
Yep.
And, you know, there's a whole bunch of them. And it just doesn't go with sports. I mean, remember MC Hammer with he had the Philly Light back in the 90s. I remember him at Belmont Park with his suit jacket on with no shirt running around and hammer timing. And it was they're fun things that when these people from other sports get involved, it's just so much fun for the game. And I think it brings more people's interest into the game when you have some of these high profile people from other sports.
Yeah, there's too many dimensions. You could go through almost any influential owner in the game, and they've made themselves they're a titan of some type of industry, whether it be go back to the Phippses with Bessemer Trust or even like the Carnegies and people like that. But and what about Bing Crosby? I mean, being a founding member of Del Mar and Jim McKay, which was founder of the Maryland Million, the great sports announcer. There's so many people that have been involved in other industries that love our sport, and it's a great thing. It is good to have them come in. And, you know, a lot of them have made a lot of money in industry, and they become celebrities in our sport. Alan Paulson, the founder of Gulfstream Aircrafts, made his money in Gulfstream building airplanes, but became a celebrity because of the horse racing that he had. So there's just too many to even talk about. But if I had to think, I'd think Crosby and McKay were very influential and have left a major footprint behind.
Yeah,
don't forget Joe Torre.
He was at the top of my list.
He's been involved with it too.
Yeah, Joe Torre, Bobby Flay, Toby Keith, Jake DeLome, the quarterback, and Eddie Olchek too, who we see all the time out there with
George
NBC.
Strait. I mean, I trained for George Strait. I've trained for Toby, and right now I've got two horses for Jay Gruden, ex head coach of the Redskins, Paul Gunter, defensive coordinator of the Vikings. We've got horses. They're both good friends. I've got horses with. You know, horse racing, I always say it's a great equalizer and brings people from all aspects of the world together. My brother went to India one time. He was telling me they went to a racetrack in India. He went over there for work, and he went in to watch, and he said he couldn't understand a word coming out of their mouths, but he knew every word they were saying. Everybody standing over a TV screen, snapping over their head and screaming. So it's a great equalizer worldwide.
Do you get free tickets to concerts?
Yeah, every once in a while.
Well, I hope they're good seats.
Oh, yeah, always.
Yeah, I've always wanted to meet George Strait. That was he's my favorite country music artist of all time, and I knew he was involved with racing. I said, I've got to find some way to get to George Strait. So maybe someday down the road we'll get a chance to do that. But there are so many people that have done great work in this sport that have made a name for themselves in other sports too, and there's a great crossover. All right, we're down to about a minute and a half here, guys, before we have to wrap it up. So we'll save a couple topics that I originally had planned for this week. We'll move them to next week. But how about this one? We have Thanksgiving coming up on Thursday. We won't get a chance to talk again until after that. For you guys, when you get your turkey, legs or breasts?
I'm dark meat always.
Timmy?
Breasts without question.
Well, yeah, here's something we can't argue about. I like that juicy dark meat.
No, that stuff.
And I think I know a little more about eating than you do, Jimmy.
Well, you can have I'll send you my dark meat for my turkey.
All right, send it on. We're gonna have 25 people at the house, a lot of people in town, some people from the track didn't have any place to go. We're gonna have a good big Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving. We always have a good time around my house.
What, how many pies are we going to have, Dale?
How many what?
Pies.
Oh, there'll probably be 4 or 5, and it won't be enough. I'll bitch about them not bringing enough. I always say too much is better than not enough.
Who does the cooking?
Well, here's a little trick to it. We order all sides from Ruth Chris, and Tammy takes care of the turkey.
What do you do?
So, eat.
Eat.
Right.
I figured that.
Yeah. Yep. It'll be a good time. I love Thanksgiving. We'll do a recap Saturday.
All right. Enjoy it, and we'll talk next week.
All right, fellas.
Sounds good.
All right, thanks, guys. Yep. There you go. Dale Romans, Tim Wilkin, happy Thanksgiving to them. Happy Thanksgiving to you as well. I'll get to another break. When I come back, I will wrap up the show and tell you what is ahead here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN.